It's amazing when you look at Scripture and you go to Scripture and you start reading it with an understanding that God is drawing me into a relationship with Him. Now at least I'll tell you how I used to read the Bible. I used to read the Bible as if He had a relationship with them. But until really I started reading the Bible that He really wanted to have a relationship with me, it kind of changed the whole picture of Scripture. You can get online to the lectionary readings ahead of time. You don't have to wait on Sunday. Just get on Vanderbilt University's lectionary readings. It'll go down through, and it'll give you excess of other kind of readings that you could add to it. But it's something that each Scripture, each time we read a section of Scripture, I believe there's always something that God will want to say to us to help us in having a relationship with Him. And in this message, this is what came out to me. In this section of reading, I really believe God was trying to tell the Israelites, I am the Lord, your God. One of the things I think we learn from the Israelites is that sometimes we forget that God is Lord. God can handle anything. He really can. God can help us in so many different ways. There's nothing too hard for God to handle. So, what do we got to remember? Well, again and again, here comes these children. And do you see yourself here? For one thing, they're caught here in this reading in the desert of sin. Well, that's a pretty description of where their heart was at the time. But this desert of sin was a vast, rugged environment of sand and stone. Now, I don't know about you. Since I grew up in West Virginia, I love mountains, trees, fresh vegetation, green, color of the fall. I'm not quite so attracted and feel praising of God when all I see is rock and sand. So here's the desert of sin. It's a vast area. But I believe, share with me the belief if you decide to, but I really believe God will allow us to go to those desolate places to try to test us and see if we'll be faithful. I asked myself this week when I read this, did the Israelites really want to go back to Egypt? Really? I mean, if you actually back up in Scripture, you find out they were crying out to the Lord while they were in Egypt because of their slavery. A lot of their needs are provided there. So when they go to a place where they cannot see how their needs are going to be provided, they started looking at the circumstance instead of God. They allowed the circumstance that they were in turn into, here we go again. You remember murmuring? You guys did it so well a few weeks ago. Do it with me again. We're just going to grumble. Okay, just grumble. Yeah. I really don't think they wanted to go back to Egypt. They just wanted an easier way to follow their Lord God. But God uses this time to test them and to shape their character. You know, really, you and I's character will not be shaped by Christ by having everything easy. Because as you look at Jesus' life, would you say it was easy? Would you say that the things that he had to go through, the things he had to give up, the things that he could have done, oh, I'll tell you, if I had the power of Jesus, there'd be fewer people on this earth. Jesus showed us the way. He showed us how God can develop our character to be like Him in these circumstances that are very difficult. Now it starts to make sense to me why James says, brothers and sisters, please consider the sufferings and the trials that you have, and there's many kinds of them, with pure joy. Because God will develop something in you, in them, if you look at it that way. And I think that's just what was happening here. God promised to meet their need for food in the desert, but decided to test their obedience. He didn't have to tell them, this is what I need for you to do. He could have just gave it to them. But you know, I don't know about you, when things were given to me and given to me and given to me, and there was nothing that I needed to, like, invest into the situation, you know what I became? A spoiled brat. I think God tests Kevin to just see how far he'll obey him. That develops trust, and that develops character. Without Jesus developing our character, it's hard to lead others to him. We can admit our weaknesses, that we're not Jesus, so always listen to Jesus, but come and follow Jesus with me. Okay, guys, VBS, here we go. Jesus is the light. Yeah, follow him. If he's the light of the world, then what would you do? Follow him, right? I pray that Campfire VBS planted a seed that will never leave the hearts of the children. Because if they got anything out of the last couple of nights, it's that when I'm learning about Jesus and what he taught, he's the light, and I follow him. I don't follow me. I don't follow my wanting it easier. I just follow him. And when the times get tough, follow him. When you have to carry your own cross, follow him. When you have to lay there and let them nail you to the cross, follow him. When the shearers are cutting and snipping, follow him. Look at what he did. Practice the same thing. That's the development of our character. That's when God says, I am your Lord, your God. We're going to sing this song. It's called Blessed Be the Lord God Almighty. Yeah, God. Wash me. We need to remember what it means to ask God to wash us. First of all, it takes us to understand, before we ask God to wash us, we need to know and remember we need washed. If you don't believe you need washed, you won't ask him to wash you. David knew he needed washed. Now you could sit and say, well, look, but I've never committed sin like David committed sin. Brothers and sisters, sin is sin is sin. And we need to be washed. So in some ways, we can backfire on what Satan wants to do. I mean, he's going to tempt us in many ways. And then if he can't get us to give in to temptation, then he'll walk away pouting and with his head down, kicking the can, getting angry. But then he'll turn around and he'll start looking in your life for another opportune time to come back and tempt you. Because all he wants to do is to keep you from making God your Lord. But we need to be washed. I don't know about you, but I feel so much more revived when I'm washed. Really? You know? I mean, sometimes you just get to the point where you just say, I need a washing. And, yeah, and I've been around some people that have forgotten they need washing. But spiritually, we can get up and we can take showers and we can put clothes on and we can smell good. But if spiritually we don't wake up every day and see the mercies of God and understand that any sin that I have in my life or I've returned to or I need to get rid of, God, I'm going to start with you. Wash me. Then spray me. Anybody use body spray? Use body spray? No. At least he admits that. All right. You will. Especially when you get older and get around the young ladies, okay? But the body spray, why do we use that? Have you ever thought? I mean, you just walk through the store and I said, why do we use that? Well, it makes you smell better than what you really are. Right? That really makes sense. There's an aroma that God has provided that he wants to wash your body with. His son. So that when people are around you, it smells like Jesus. Smells like love. Smells like mercy. Smells like grace. Wow. Now, tell me this. Can man come up with any better fragrances than those? Wash me. I'm a sinner. At camp out, we learned this is what Jesus wants to do because he is the light. Oh, they didn't hear me. Okay. We started out with this water, murky water. Sin has infiltrated into our life. It's made our character and our image milky and dark. And with Jesus being the light, there's not much light can come through that, right? It's not shining through because what it does is it bounces back because the dirt's still there. Jesus comes along and says, I went to the cross to handle the dirt. I'll wash you of that dirt. But you got to be willing to sacrifice your whole self, not just half. Because here's what I believe Kevin has done as a Christian too many years of my life. I've done obedience to God halfway. And so, hey, I'm better, right? Problem is with that sentence is I use too much I. I'm not better. God makes me better. And God reminds me how important I am to him. But if I just go around and be kind of murky and half-hearted and I'll follow Jesus here, but boy, that's too tough of a teaching, so I won't follow him there. Now, a little bit of more light comes through, but still not clear enough. When we ask God to wash us with the blood of the Lamb, Jesus' blood makes us like this. Can you see it shining through? Remember, this is Jesus. He's the light of the world. Here's me. When I ask God to wash me, to cleanse me, like David did, then Jesus can shine brighter through me. And I believe that's what that reading was talking about, that we can adopt for ourselves. And as we're heading into this thought process of why, remembering what Jesus has done for us, I don't know about you, but maybe we have lost. And here's where people challenge me. They say, well, you do it every week. It's so repetitive, it becomes a ritual. That can happen. But if we get up every day, I never get tired of prayer because I need prayer. So is it because I do it every day? No, it's really a mindset. If you're having a relationship with God, you make it daily. But then here in our communion time as a church, we should never allow this to become ritual. It's all about, I'm sure I sinned this week. I either thought the wrong thought, treated somebody the wrong way, I put somebody down, whatever I did that didn't let Jesus shine through me, then God, wash me so Jesus, your Son, can shine through. I think we've lost that, my opinion, when we take communion. When's the last time you cried? By remembering. The Passion had me screaming out in the theater, "Stop whipping the man!" Jesus went through so much for me. I sure don't know why he did, but I'm sure glad he did. We're going to sing a song you and I are familiar with, and we're going to let the sisters ask the question. I'm going to have the brothers answer. It's "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. So, brother, offering your life as a sacrifice. Now, the words are not going to be up here, so get your swords out. Some have stored their swords in their phones, so go ahead and get that pulled up. And some people have still the paper that has the spirit of the word. And I tell you, once this gets in your heart, woo, it starts pierces the inner being of your soul. Gets all that junk out, all that sin out. But we're going to read this last lectionary reading. And please just follow along with me. We're going to start in verse 22. We're going to go on over to verse 35, and then we'll jump over to verse 48. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that the only boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Wow, just like we just did. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in a search for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" So Jesus gave him this answer, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I have performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed a seal of approval." Then they asked him, "Well, what must we do to do the works God requires?" Well, Jesus answered, now really, you need to mark this. You need to dive into this. You need to digest this. And all of us will kind of get a different feeling of what he might be saying. But I think as we continue to look at it and talk about it and share it, and we start practicing the obedience together, we'll understand what he's saying. Here's what Jesus says. Here's the work of God. To believe in the one he sent. Now, I can easily stop right there, and we're going to read right along, but I have to stop by there to just explain to you. Here's what Kevin did with this verse for a long time. Okay, I say I believe in Jesus. Why? Well, I grew up going to a church assembly. I would really disappoint my parents if I said I did not believe in him. Typically, I mean, I don't know what they would do to me as a church if I'd actually say if I did not believe in him. So I said, I believe in him. So I learned the stories, and I learned the stories, and I got into that. And it's just kind of a development for me, I believe, that if you don't get up on God, the story turns from as young as a fiction to truth. As you keep on practicing the teachings of Jesus. Because they'll come true. Really, I don't believe the words of Jesus come true in our lives until we actually follow. I think sometimes when we hear, well, all we have to do is just believe, okay, I believe. If you believe in the Almighty God, oh boy, we better kneel before him. There's nothing I can create as great as this earth and this universe. There's nothing that this world can give me. I've been watching a lot of, I'll just go ahead and tell you, the patriarch of Duck Dynasty, Phil Robinson. Oh, you know, the guy that doesn't look like a Christian. Very powerful, powerful message. Man, he knows how to teach the gospel. He just goes down through and he says, you know, I'm a wretched sinner. I've sinned in my life. He's cheated on his wife. He's been a drunkard. He said, until I actually understood what it meant to believe in Jesus, it really didn't affect him. But when he truly believed and started to follow, Jesus started cleaning him up. And now he preaches for a lot of people now because, you know, the show got to a high platform. Okay, so it's not about duck calls. Now he's talking about the call of God. The ducks know how to respond when somebody's calling them. So why don't we respond when we hear the voice of God? And he goes on, he tells this story, he tells about Jesus coming into the world and why he had to come in and that he was mistreated and people were misguided, but he loved people with passion, and he served, and he taught the truth at times just really stung, it really cut, but he didn't hate people, he loved people because he knew what sin was going to do in their life and keep them from the image of God. So he came back to model, come and follow me back to the Lord. But one thing that you're going to have to realize when you follow me, because I am the light, you're going to need to die to your own self and then be resurrected. But I'm going to go show you how hard it is to go die. I'm going to show you the power of God by walking out of that grave. Phil then goes on and says, does anybody else have a better story than that? My question is, if we got the best story, let's tell it. Believe. If you truly believe, God's going to do his work in us. Yep. That's what he's saying, is that's the work of God. Now let's follow along. He thought I was done. Here we go. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? See, here they go again. You did feed us and everything, but what sign will you give us? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Remember, we just read that a few minutes ago. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who had given you the bread. It was my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now he's starting to say, okay, you know that bread that was given? Moses didn't give that. God gave that as a provision. But you know what? In a spiritual way, God has sent bread to you. There is something that you need to hunger after in a spiritual way. Now he goes on and says who that is. Sir, they said, always give us the bread. It's almost like just saying, hey, I'll come to the church because you feed me. Well, that's okay. But are you hungry for Jesus? Then Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate that manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I don't know about you, but boy, that just grips me to the core. That gets right to the core of, Kevin, do you truly, truly believe in the one he sent? Are you hungry for him? Do you want to follow his ways? Do you want God to develop your character? Do you want to be washed clean of your sin? Or do you want to keep living in it? That's a lot of answers that needs to come forth. And we're going to give you that opportunity right now. We're going to sing, I'll Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Believe in the one he sent. You got sin? Guess what? God sent the light. You're living a murky, kind of half-hearted Christian life. God sent the light. If you know that he is your Lord and your God, and you ask him to wash you, and you get hungry for Jesus, will happen in your life. Let's stand and sing. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him our Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. And ye chosen seed of Israel's rank, ye ransomed from the fall. Now hail him who saves you by his faith and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred
on this terrestrial ball, and to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all.
You may be seated.
Okay, number of prayer requests and announcements.